signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps. Way out of this mess, we must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettmiller, and it is the 5th of January 2016, and riding shot 17. Just seeing if you're paying attention. I don't want to be older. I want to hold back the hands of time until my arms are ripped out of the sockets. Just call me Stumpy. this is Thursday, but Ron McDonald is with me because, my gosh, I started to Jones here, having two Mondays, well, without Ron on. So here he is. Japan's banks... Ron, have had problems for many, many years. Many years. And they just got a whole lot worse. And if you think quantitative easing has helped anything, and I hate this term, but I'll use it anyhow. The only thing that quantitative easing has done in this country is prevented the collapse of the United States economy. And maybe subsequently other markets around the world. What did they call the quantitative easing in Europe, Ron? They had a nice euphemistic name for that.
I don't recall. Is that the correct answer?
What, you don't recall?
Yes.
No, that was not a rhetorical question. That required an answer, and I didn't get it. And I feel just as dumb because I can't think of it either.
Yeah, I don't...
I'll think of it. It'll
okay.
For some reason, it'll pop in my head 30 seconds from now. But at any rate, Paul Craig Roberts weighed in on this one. He says, as most Americans, if not the financial media, are aware, quantitative easing, a euphemism for printing money, and it's not really printing money, it's just entering digits into a computer, has failed to bring back the U.S. economy. So why has Japan adopted the policy? Since the heavy-duty money printing began in 2013, the Japanese yen has fallen 35% against the U.S. dollar. A big cost for a country dependent on energy imports. However, the Japanese economy has shown no growth in response to the QE stimulus to justify the rising price of imports. Despite the economy's lack of response to the stimulus, last month the Bank of Japan announced a 60% increase in quantitative easing from 50 to 80 trillion yen annually. Albert Edwards, a strategist at Societe Generale, predicts the Japanese printing press will drive the yen down even further. Well, of course it is. Now, this is a prediction, but why risk the reality? What does Japan have to gain from currency depreciation? And what is the thinking behind the policy? The easy explanation is Japan is being ordered to destroy its currency in order to protect the overprinted U.S. dollar. As a vassal state, Japan suffers under U.S. political and financial hegemony and is powerless to resist Washington's pressure. I don't know about that. Look what Donald did. The official explanation is that, like the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Japan professes to believe in the Phillips curve. Now, that associates economic growth with inflation. The supply-side economic policy implemented by the Reagan administration disapproved the Phillips curve belief that the economic growth was inconsistent with a declining or a stable rate of inflation. However, establishment economists refused to take note and continue with the dogmas which they are comfortable with. In other words, the lies that they spill, they don't want to change their lies, so we'll just continue the lie. In the U.S., quantitative easing caused inflation in stock and bond prices, as most of the liquidity provided went into financial markets instead of going into consumers' pockets. And that's more of a reference of borrowing money than anything else. There is more consumer price inflation than the official inflation measures, as the measures are designed to underreport inflation, just like they do. You know, Janet Yellen says, well, inflation is under check, therefore we're going to raise the interest rates by a quarter point. Really? And there are 95 million Americans out of work, but yet the government will tell you that it's, we're doing pretty well. Unemployment rate's below 5%, 4.5% now. In the best of times in this country, folks, the unemployment rate never dropped below 5%, and there was a good reason for that. Because if they really superheated the economy and everybody was working, look at all that funny money would be out there floating, not attached to really anything of the real world. Now, there is more consumer price inflation than the official inflation measures report, as the measures are designed to underreport inflation, thereby saving money on COLA adjustments. Don't you just love that term, COLA? It sounds like something that you pop a cap on and it's fizzy and it tastes good. Well, that's the cost of living allowance. But the main effect of QE has been unrealistic and with stock prices and bond prices. And the Bank of Japan hopes are that the raw material and energy import prices will rise as the exchange value of the yen falls, and that these higher costs will be passed along in consumer prices. Isn't that nice? Pushing up inflation and stimulating economic growth. This is, Ron, I look at this stuff and I go, really? How much better would it be for sustained growth where you didn't have, these peaks and these valleys? That a dollar that was worth a dollar today, 10 years from now, guess what it'd be worth? A dollar. This would be, in the long run, much better for everybody, but the financial wizards have convinced both consumers, private individuals, and governments. You know, you got your Santa Claus list there, and you being a representative of this government, don't you want to deliver on more goods to the people? Don't you want to spur economic growth? Just keep borrowing. Borrow, borrow, borrow. And we see where it has gotten us. Andy, Texas.
Hey, John. Yeah, well, first of all, if you got 95% of the people out of the workforce and can't find a job and whatnot, that's certainly about one-third of the population. That's not 4 or 5%.
No, I can do the math as well, and we have surpassed the 1932-1933 unemployment rate in this country by roughly 5 to maybe 7%. We had at the peak of the what they call the Great Depression, and this is greater than the Great Depression, so I guess this is greater good. Sounds kind of Orwellian, but basically.
Well, what it really called for was when this country came together, the Constitution actually stated that our currency was gold and silver. And that's what we traded in, and we moved around. And then eventually the government packed in some gold and some silver, and then they started issuing currency based on how much gold and silver they had. And they couldn't write any more, they couldn't print any more money than they had in gold and silver or whatnot.
Right.
Well, my question to you is do you believe the U.S. government and the people of this country actually have any gold still somewhere? Like they said, Fort Knox in 1970, you used to be able to see pictures of it.
No, I don't. I don't. And the reason I say that, what was it, Ron, was it Germany that wanted to look into the Federal Reserve vaults in New York to inventory their gold? And right. they told him, no, you can't do that for another 7 years?
Yes.
There's no gold in Fort Knox, Andy. There's no...
So who has it?
Well, it's been leased out. It's been sold off. I don't know
plus,
who the hell has it.
George Soros and, plus and the Buffett and all those other guys.
France had borrowed ferns that were redeemable back in 1929 or whatever. And there was a moratorium on that their debt didn't have to be paid back for a year. So they took those same certificates of gold and came over here with barges and cashed them in for the gold. That's part of why we went off the gold standard.
Yeah, because people were showing up and they go, okay, we want our gold.
That's it.
Well, there's no doubt that this country has been pilfered, and it hasn't been pilfered by some foreign nationalists here. It's been pilfered by our own people who were greedy as hell, and they want to set up their little oligarchy and their little communist nation that they're trying to put together here and stuff. I think those are the people directly responsible for us being a poor nation as of right now, because we're living on this fiat currency. The only thing that gives this currency value is that the people still realize it as something of value, and the consumers, as well as the proprietors that sell us these things, they still recognize it as currency. So, but we're virtually passing around monopoly money that doesn't have any value whatsoever to it, and I just frankly think this is absurd, and gosh, I am so embarrassed for this country. This is just a terrible turn we've taken.
Well, I'm in the same boat as you, and you know, they use this in England, Ron. They use tally sticks.
Yes.
Now, tally sticks were sticks. Okay. They weren't gold. They weren't silver. They weren't money. It was just an accounting system that you use for payments, receivable, and paying out. And it was just a stick. That's all that it was. And it was marked, the transactions that took place, they were marked. But that wasn't a representation of any real wealth, but it was something that wasn't vulnerable to inflation or manipulation. It was what it was. Okay, you want to pay your bill, where's your stick? You know?
You know, there's another point of France taking that money, depleting our gold reserves. Where was Congress? Didn't anyone wake up and said, hey, enough's enough. If they continue this, it's going to destroy this nation.
Well, I don't know.
They had to be in on the take, hadn't they?
Well, Ron, I mean, they haven't woke up. I mean, it's been over 100 years, and they won't. There was a lone man that was on the banking committee in Washington, D.C. What the heck was his name? Oh, that's right. It was Ron Paul. And he was the only one that was asking for an audit of the Federal Reserve and eventually us getting out from under the Federal Reserve. Period. And he was the lone wolf up there. You know, Dennis Kucinich came out when he was in office. He was on the other side of the aisle. He and Ron Paul used to talk about this, and he would try to generate some interest in this. He saw the dangers of it, the problems that it caused, and he wanted the same thing. But, you know, for over 100 years, these clowns have been witnessed. The very same people, the very same body politic, back in 1913, on December 23rd, 1913, while everybody else was on vacation, these little clowns slipped into Congress, did this wonderful thing, Emergency Banking Act, boom, and there we go. They have had the ability to correct this mistake for over 100 years and have done nothing and have let you and I flapping in the wing, my friend, just out there just blowing in the wind.
Well, but, you know, Ron makes a very valid point. These people that were in Congress and whatnot to let this sell through and get this all done, they were in on it. But ultimately, the responsibility lies on the people. Whatever these people did to us to allow the people to let them do what they did, you know, like today they got all these GMOs and fluoride and all this other stuff going
on.
Okay,
you're mixing too many plums with your oranges here. You're losing me.
No, what I'm saying is ultimately the people allowed their government to go ahead and rape them of their right to have gold and silver.
Whoa, Andy. Every time I hear that, that makes me recoil.
And
that really does, because, yes, our duties and obligations are we pay our taxes and we vote people best suited, in our opinion, to be representing us. And that's as far as it goes. We have
assuming the vote is legal.
Well, and whether irrespective of if it's legal or not, we have no redress. They keep telling, well, if you don't like the law, change the law. Well, you need to vote people and it'll change the vote. You're up against an entire government that has been backing these funny money people and screwing the American people for over 100 years.
As Ben Franklin said, he said, you have a republic if you can keep it. And he left it in the Constitution that said that it was up to the people to rein in the government and keep it true.
But nowadays, Andy, you're called a terrorist when you talk like that.
Damn it, I'm a terrorist then.
Mr. Terrorist, go out there and make the necessary change and see if that just doesn't bring a bullet in your head. This is a problem.
Andy, okay.
Pull him down, please. Look, Andy, I don't want to play semantic word games here. This is deadly serious crap. People are going to die over this. I don't want to put this in the realm of yuck, yuck, and ha, ha, because it's not that funny. All right? Here's the problem that we have. We have a government that will not listen to the redress of grievances of its own people. They will not follow the Constitution. They will not follow the law. You cannot get this into a court of law because the federal, and this deals with what? It deals with the Federal Reserve, which is no part of the federal government. But if you've got a problem with that, you're going to end up in a federal court in a jurisdiction that shouldn't even be there in the first damn place. Ron, am I pretty much on track here so far?
You're on track. The only other thing I would add to is that we are debtors. We have no rights. We cannot hold our representatives in the public trust position. We can't hold them guilty for anything. We have not. It's like a servant telling their master, "Hey, enough, master." It's not going to fly, is it?
No, it is. It is definitely not going to fly. This is why we're at a point here for more than just political reasons. It's also economic. That we are the fake people out here. We're the people that need to be done away with. We are the people. We the people, folks. It isn't the government that invented us or created us. It was the people in the respective states that created this federal government that has flown off the reservation at Mach 3 with its hair on fire, out of control. We cannot control it. And these clowns that we keep sending to Washington, D.C., hoping this guy's a little bit more conservative than this little guy over here that's a little bit more liberal, this guy's more responsible fiscally than this guy, all he wants to do is spend the money. It's all crap. And they know it. This is... Go ahead.
In the early 20th century, people didn't, basically the majority of people, labor, didn't finish high school. They were out there laboring, sometimes 15 hours a day. So how would they keep a finger on what the representatives were doing? You know, we can't accuse them for being asleep at the helm because they had to make a living.
Andy, are you still there?
Yes, I am, sir.
Okay.
One question, though. Yeah. When we get to this point that you've got at, that you've made, and I wasn't making a mockery of you. I was merely...
I wasn't taking it as a personal attack, but I saw where it was going, and this crap next year, you know, they're trying to... You're hearing that, oh, well, the left wants to pull Donald Trump out of office. No, they want to just blow his ass up. And the way this is going to be accomplished is the bankers that need this country to go away now that it's built trillions and trillions and milked it pretty much dry, but they now see the danger of the continuation of this country under maybe a little bit more restrained political environment. Donald Trump I don't believe he's going to touch the banks, which in essence, Andy, with all the chaos that's going to be reigning and martial law that's probably going to be declared, we're going to have to go to the damn cartridge box. I can see this crap coming. That's why I'm not laughing.
No, and I'm not laughing either, John, but one last thing real quick.
All right, hold on one second. Let me take the break, and you can take your time after.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
We're back. Andy, you want to finish up?
Yeah, no, what I was going to say is that, you know, when you corner a rat, and I have cornered one, a big one, actually, they will actually lunge out at you. And what they're doing to the American people right now is they're cornering a rat. And metaphorically speaking, we're the rat, and we're going to lunge out at these people. The thing is that I think this should have happened a long time ago. I mean, if you go by the Declaration of Independence, we are far under more tyranny than our forefathers would have accepted. And I just frankly, that's why I say it's the people's fault. We should have already uprisen. We should have realized once they took us off the gold standard in 1971, and then they had this free-for-all
Do you think the people were any smarter about the funny money back in 1971 than they are right now?
Well, that's my point, and that's why I was saying that the government has done some things to us, and, you know, watch the left hand while the right hand's doing this. That's how we got here, is that we're just running around with our heads up our butts thinking life is great and our government loves us.
Yeah.
And all the while, they've been trampling us.
I think that's an overstatement. But, okay, hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, John.
Okay.
I would just add that the IQ of the average person is the same as a rat when it comes to what money is and what the laws really are.
Yeah, but so, they know what the free cheese is all about.
They do.
You know, and there's different sorts of rat traps. You put cheese in a rat trap, you're going to catch a rat and you're going to snap his little neck. Well, the cheese has been put out there. It was called credit, and people just ate it up. Yeah, they couldn't get enough of it.
I remember it happening. I saw the first Bank of America card.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, man. And I do as well. I can remember it was like it was yesterday. And you start seeing these commercials. Oh, you know, Master Charge. That was the first one that came out. Master Charge. You know, oh, and you can have a credit limit and you can get what you want today and pay for it on time. Well, it wasn't a layaway program now, was it? Because a layaway program doesn't charge you for storage fee on the thing that you're laying away. You simply made the installment, agreed installment plan payments to take possession of something they were holding. But they are also taking your money along the way as well, as kind of a surety that if you didn't make the last payment, guess what? You didn't get a refund, or you got a partial refund. But, you know, what were they doing with that damn money that you were giving them to hold the stuff?
You know, I remember neighbors showing their credit card and how great this thing was.
Oh, well, it was new and it was different. And look, this piece of plastic can spit out dollar bills. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, I was too young to get one myself, but I do recall that.
And then now I don't even have a credit rating to get one. Dave in Southern California. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes. I don't know if you mentioned this earlier. I've been in and out of the room, but when they set up the coinage system with the Coinage Act of 1792, the price of gold in terms of that era, the price was $20.66 an ounce, or basically the amount of gold in a $20 gold piece.
Right.
Was a little under a troy ounce.
Right.
And here's an example for you of how bad things have gotten. Back when I started going to UCLA back in 1970, I used to take the bus home on weekends. It's like a 50 to 70 mile trip, and I would buy a copy of the National Enquirer to read during the trip. Cost 20 cents. And I was looking for a copy of a recent issue that had all this dirt about Hillary in it. And I was shocked to see that the cover price of the National Enquirer is now $4.99.
I just saw a USA Today on sale for $2, and the paper's been downsized, and there's hardly any advertising in it, and it looks more like a damn flyer than it does a newspaper.
I also...
Go ahead, Ron.
Dave, I have to say that under the Mint Act of 1792, you brought in $10 of gold and they put it into a coin. Its value was $10 at that time. It was a very stable, it wasn't called a commodity, it was called the money.
It was called
of the United
money.
States.
That's right. It's what we used to trade in because it had an intrinsic value and it was hard to get out of the earth, refine, and stamp those little stupid things. All right, I got to run. We got more stuff to come, folks. Bottom of the hour break. Mike in Tennessee, I'll take your call next. And then I want to cover a different subject with you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
I was reading an article today, our government and how it spends money, spent $75,000 buying 25 bicycles. Now, you can only do that through a bureaucracy such as we have created. By the way, I wanted to say one other thing here. I was talking about their quantitative easing in Japan and how it's affected the yen. These people have been in a mind screw over there for damn near three decades. And the Federal Reserve's announcement that quantitative easing is terminated has improved the outlook for the U.S. dollar. Well, not really. The Fed's bond purchases have left the big banks with about $2.6 trillion, and for sake of argument in this story, they call it in excess cash reserves on deposit with the Fed. Now, the banks will now use this money to buy bonds in place of the Fed's purchases. When the money runs out, the Fed will find a reason to restart quantitative easing. Moreover, the Fed has announced that it intends to reinvest the interest and returning principal from its $4.5 trillion in holdings of mortgage-backed instruments and treasuries to continue purchasing bonds. Oh, boy. Possibly also, interest rate swaps can be manipulated to keep rates down, so despite the announcement of the end of the quantitative easing, Purchases will continue to support high bond prices, and the high bond prices themselves will continue to encourage purchases of stock, thus perpetrating the house of cards. The market was down today, but it's pumping its head up against that glass ceiling of 20,000 on Dow Jones. Yeah. Well, let me remind you one thing, folks. Tuesday, Black Tuesday, October 1929. Where was the stock market? All-time high. And then, kaboom. Nothing. Mike in Tennessee. Hello, Mike.
Greetings, John.
Hi.
How much time do I have? 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes?
Well, I don't know. You just used 30 seconds asking me how much time you got.
Well, ask yourself this question. Who would you rather deal with, the order giver or the order taker? The order taker is going to be the one that greets you at your front door with a gun pointed at your head. The order giver is the one in the black robe who's sending out the instructions. If the order taker is not there because the order giver never gave any orders, then the order taker doesn't do anything. He can't operate on his own. He doesn't have the capacity. He's a one banana machine.
Okay.
Something to think about. John Whitehead, he wrote a book called A Government of Wolves, but obviously he has no clue as to the real nature of a wolf or the government.
Well, and I'm glad you mentioned John Whitehead, because I'm done with this guy.
He's a self-proclaimed constitutional attorney, but yet all a person has to, if the attorneys were anything other than, you know, inside their system of control and manipulation and part of the fraud, they would be lining up to call people that call into your show daily, and all the other hosts that you have that have people that call in about tragedies. You never hear an attorney call in and say, what's that guy's name and number? I want to step out and help them because we can sue the government and rake in.
Oh, hey, Mike, wait till you get a load. Ron Avery, friend of mine, here in Texas. Houston Chronicle ran a story on him. The reporter showed up at his tap house. He used to have a bar. And they used to have people come in and speak. And, well, his facility was open to anybody that wanted to come in and speak and set up microphones and chairs and whatever else. He was an amenable kind of guy. Well, the story gets really twisted. And I'm going to have Mark Anderson on as well, because Mark has been following the story with him. There is much, much more than meets the eye against false or fake news. The attorneys, how they have gotten together and protected and called one group of people. This is constitutional free speech. This is protected. I mean, it is a story not unlike yours. It's got its melodrama to it, and this thing has already gone to court. He's sued Houston Chronicle and the writer of the story. The case was thrown out. He took it to appeals court. It was thrown out. He's now sitting in front of the Texas Supreme Court, getting ready to be thrown out. And folks, I'm telling you, this is a huge story that nobody else has covered. And next Tuesday, I'm going to have these guys in studio, and we're going to go through this entire thing. The ramifications of this is mind-bending. It's just not somebody getting hurt or the inability to sue. This is a bigger picture on how to control you, the private individual out there, when you try to speak up and you say, I've been harmed, and you try to go to court. They're changing all of the rules. I'm telling you, this administrative system that they have set up, God Almighty, this is the devil incarnate. People want to get all religious and tell me about God and the devil, and the devil's doing this, and you know, well, I'm gonna show you the devil Tuesday. I'm gonna show him to you.
Well, there are no rules. They make it up as they go, and they cover each other. They circle the wagons. And if you walk into their arena, you're toast. The only people that win in that arena are those people that have paid off the system or part of the brethren. Otherwise, you lose, and they've stacked up in Tennessee. The state passed a law guaranteeing these private for-profit prisons 95% occupancy. The only way they can fulfill that guarantee is to make certain they convict people.
And through the administrative state, that's exactly how they're going to be able to do it.
Right, and because people have become sheep, where they used to stand up and fight, they become soft, complacent, and looking for others. That they want a guard dog. They used to be wolves. At one time, people were independent, self-sufficient, and self-governing, as I keep preaching, mm-hmm. as the Cherokee Wolf Clan. You know, if we really espoused to the type of animal that the people are, we wouldn't have the bulls and the broncos. We would have the sheep and the ducks and the you know, the squirrels. And, I mean, what would be your favorite kind of team? The sheep?
Mike, I'm trying to follow your euphemisms here, and I'm getting lost.
Well, truly, look at the people around you, and do they act more like the free, animated spirit of a wolf that's out there doing only what he needs to provide for his family? You know, eating the rats. And what is a rat? That's one of those critters that only lives where there's an abundance, because his job is to steal that which somebody else has stored up.
Yeah, no, I got you there. And the analogy about the sheep, I like the analogy that, you know, when you shear a sheep, you know, you don't kill it. It's gonna grow more wool that you can go out and you can shear it again and keep shearing it until the sheep one day gets the idea that, wait a minute, I get kind of chilly and cold when I lose my why don't I just kick you in your damn face the next time I see you coming at me with those shears? And I think that's really what the American people have to do. You know, the more I look at this, Mike, the more I'm convinced than ever that we've got to eventually go to that cartridge box.
Well, what's the first thing I ask you? Would you rather deal with the order giver or the order taker? If you satisfy that need that order giver is needing, you take care of that indispensable rat, then all those order takers don't know what to do because there's no one there to give them orders.
Yeah. Well, and these guys running around with their shiny badges, and I call them the Keystone Corporate Coffer Cops. When I tell cops that to their face, they get real indignant. And I just tell them, I said, well, you know, why don't you start doing a little bit of research on who and what you are and what you represent, and go into the Supreme Court rulings that spell out who you are and what your duties are. When you hire on in a department, they'll tell you, okay, this is our policy, these are our guidelines, this is your job outlay, this is what you're supposed to do, and that's it. You guys think no more of it. You jump in your little cruisers and you go out there and do your thing, and you think nothing of it. But you have to discover for yourself what and who you are in this grand system of things. We're doing the examining here, and we're not out there because we hate you. We just want your stupid butt to wake up, because you're the order givers.
Or in the Declaration of Independence, right down from where we, the people, are endowed by our creators, I think 10 lines further, maybe 30, but at any point it talks about the savages of the wilderness, the Native Americans, my ancestors, who they said they did not recognize any person's status or station and so forth in their art of war. What they're complaining about is that the Native Americans would kill a general quicker than one of these guys out front, because they knew those order givers control those order takers, and when you eliminate those order givers, you don't have as many organized order takers to deal with.
Okay, the give and take of it all. Mike, I appreciate your call. All right. Okay.
Have a blessed day.
Okay, you too. By the way, the last subject that I wanted to cover here, and not because if it bleeds, it leads. Ron, did you hear about the four individuals over there in Chi-Town that decided that they wanted to take a mentally unstable little boy and tie him up and beat him and stick things in his head and whatever else? Did you hear this?
No, I did not.
Oh, well.
Wow.
And I'm reading this directly from the Chicago Tribune. I've been watching this all day. A mentally disabled man... call him a man, he's a boy, attacked on a Facebook live video, was able to escape after a neighbor on the west side apartment building threatened to call police because of the noise. authorities said Thursday as hate crime charges were filed. The minute I heard this, now think back here, folks. What did you just hear Donald Trump say a couple of days ago about Rahm Emanuel? You need some help over there. You need federal help. And I'm thinking about this and I'm going, no, I don't think they need federal help. They need a governor of the state of Illinois that's got a pair. They need a mayor in Chicago that is not part of the communitarian system. Did you get that one, Lark? I know he's listening. No, the minute this came out, before I heard them use the hate crime, I thought, wait for it, John, wait for it. You know it's coming. Several hours later, there it was. It popped up. Two of the attackers followed the neighbor downstairs Tuesday evening, and the 18-year-old victim used the distraction to leave the building in the 3300 block of West Lexington Street, police said at the news conferences. Officers found the man wandering in the streets in the Haman Square neighborhood around 5:15 p.m. Police said, I observed him wearing a tank top inside out, backwards, jean shorts, and sandals. This is Chicago, folks. It's cold. He was very discombobulated, the officer said. He was injured. He was confused. Well, according to the video, and these culturally deficient young people, and that's being very kind, were dumb enough to post this on Facebook. According to the video, the man's wrist had been bound and his mouth taped shut as two men cut his shirt with knives, then took turns punching him and stomping him in his head. One of the men cut the victim's scalp with a knife. As the man crouched against the wall, someone shouted, F Donald Trump, F the white people. Four people were arrested after the downstairs neighbor called police because the two suspects had kicked in their door. And this is the writer of this story. This is the problem with stupidity and not being a journalist. You don't even know how to write. So I'm going to have to try to decipher this as I read the damn thing. What happened? There was a neighbor downstairs. There are two sisters living in this apartment building upstairs. They were making so much noise, beating the crap out of this white kid, that she threatened to call the police. Well, the two bomber bitches bounded down the stairs, kicked in her door, and threatened her and said, if you call the police, we're going to do something to you. And on their way out, decided to grab something of value. Guess what that is? That is breaking and entering and robbery. But it doesn't stop there. Stolen cars are involved, a bunch of other stuff. Well, Jordan Hill, 18 of Carpentersville, Tesfaye Cooper, 18 of Chicago, Brittany Covington, 18 of Chicago, and her sister, Tanisha Covington, 24 of Chicago, were all charged. Now, Ron, when I was first hearing the story before I heard the hate crime stuff come in, I thought, man, these guys are guilty, and I'm no lawyer. I'm thinking to myself, these guys are guilty of kidnapping. That's pretty damn serious. Aggravated assault, that's pretty damn serious. That's felony stuff. So I'm starting to add up the felonies here. And, well, here's what the Chicago police came out and said. The Chicago police said they were all charged with aggravated kidnapping, aggravated unlawful restraint, and aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. There's also a charge of breaking and entering, which is also a felony. And especially, you know, you can break and enter and not steal something, but you break and enter and you steal something, that changes the game. Well, here came the big one. They're also being charged with a hate crime. Now, these were four blacks, one white kid that they were beating up. And I'm hearing this, and I'm starting to read the threads on this stuff, and I'm starting to see people's responses to this. Oh, yes, get them with the hate crimes. Ron, let me ask you this. What do you see as a fundamental problem here with the hate crime stuff?
What do I see as a fundamental problem with the hate crimes?
Yeah.
Well, I see that there's white and black, first of all. Racism. Other than that, the hate crime is basically racial in nature.
Yeah.
I don't know what else.
Yeah.
Is there something further that you're...
Yeah, this thing cuts both ways. They have the ability to do everything that they need within the confines of the state of Illinois to deal with these knuckle-dragging, culturally deficient little asshats. Everything that they need. They don't need the federal government, and they don't need to use hate crime. Now, I know this is not going to set well with a lot of people, but I want you to think this one through. What does a hate crime keep you from doing? Well, what are we going through right now? We're misogynists. We're hate criminals. We're this, we're that, we're the other. Which all invites the federal government in to sit on your lap and to be good old Uncle Sammy for you. We don't need the federalities. This whole hate crime issue, it is not good. Let me take this one last call here. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Yes.
And Ron, a friend of mine, John, across the pond in Torch Lake here, he's in his 80s and lived in Chicago, and they brought in a thing called the Chicago Project through the education system. And that was, I think, Lyndon Johnson's great project to break the neighborhoods of the lower class. They are all thriving, and that this isn't a this right now is the result of the education that hasn't been given to these people, and also the media has really pumped it up. But the first part time when they presented this on the media. The police chief of Chicago said it wasn't a hate crime, that it was, you know, that it was just a bunch of kids that were fooling around, and it got out of hand. And then there was a black reporter on CNN that said it was a political thing, it wasn't a hate crime. But going back to the government coming in, I agree with you there, but the fact that anything can be a hate crime, it's just like up here when they were trying to do what a wetland was. So now what's a hate crime? If someone's feelings are hurt or... the wrong word is used.
Right.
So the Chicago Project was so well that they gave it to the rest of the country. And we're dealing with a problem right there to begin with.
Well, and it's a systemic problem, one that was created, then we got a bunch of chicken craps out there that won't do anything about it because they're afraid of being called what? A racist?
Well, they're running everything. They run the education. I just saw where a gentleman did a research on the East Coast colleges, and that the liberals outnumber the conservative professors 28-1. So they've taken over that area, and we've got this whole country so dumbed down. Just look at the people in California, Ron, that have a new prostitution law for minors.
Right.
You
know? Well, but here's the problem I have with this. The federal government, in no way, no shape, no how, should be involved in this. And, of course, they have the laws in the books. You can't discriminate people against people because their sexual preferences or their age or their color. But every government form you ever fill out, they ask you what your race is and how old you are. You know, I mean, it's mind-boggling. But the problem with this is, and when these hate crime, they start talking about this hate crime, I said, wait a minute. Stop. There are laws in the books to cover everything out there. If somebody is doing a criminal act against somebody, but we're going back, John, to the days that somebody would call you a name. You know, we used to use the little phrase, sticks and stones
also break my bones,
but words would never hurt me. You actually had to take a physical action against somebody for that to be a crime. Now it's under the federal purview, and what's coming next out of this once everybody starts getting comfortable? Oh, well, that was a hate crime. Yeah, we got to stop this hate between the blacks and the whites. The whites pretty much have quit hating the blacks now. They saw a president come in. They were hoping against all hope, but we saw a president come in that wasn't even really fully black. But, hey, here we are, and I'm telling you, just as anything else that the government gets involved in, what do you think if hate crime prosecution in this country becomes fashionable, what do you think they would do with somebody like me?
Well, that wouldn't be nice, but isn't it chaos? What do they call it? Something out of chaos. And Rahm Emanuel is they came right from the cabinet of Obama. His father, his brother runs the agencies out in California, William Morris Agency, and the other one. And his brother was part writer of Obamacare with the euthanizing the elderly. That whole family is just, it's, you know, as Al Capone started, it just continued with Daley, and now Emanuel. We got to get rid of Emanuel out of our country.
Well, and don't you find it kind of odd that he left Barack Obama's cabinet, he went to become mayor of Chicago, and you heard nothing about Rahm Emanuel? He was there for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I can see the reason starting to get. Now, they better hurry up. They only got a couple of weeks. They better hurry up.
Oh, yes. God bless you guys.
All right. Thanks, John. I appreciate your call. Ron, we are about out of time here. I appreciate you coming up on this Thursday. I know you didn't expect it.
No, it was a pleasure. You know, I thought I was dropped there for a while.
No, we
New
just...
Year's and a Christmas.
No, well, you were dropped.
No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Okay. I got to get reacquainted with your sense of humor. What was the joke that you pulled at the beginning of the show?
Oh, geez, I don't remember. Well, I'm too old to remember that point.
Oh, no, it what? Was... no.
What was it?
No, we were just playing the semantics here about... asking a question that you already knew the answer to.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ask me if I was in favor?
Would you like to be on that side?
Would I like to be on the banker ripoff side of things?
Yeah, be the worst evil individual.
I got to tell you, it gave me cause for pause for the second. I'm thinking, did the cheese just slide off this guy's cracker?
You know, the strange thing is how many people in this world would say, yes, I'd like to be on that side of it.
Oh, what? You know what?
And that identifies the very problem we're in.
Well, and that might also identify in the future when they don't have their stuff, their itty-bitty anymore, and I still got mine, that they'll try to come and get mine. Well, let them try to come and get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy New Year's, John.
Well, Happy New Year's to you. Politically, everybody is all happy in this country. Well, some of the people are. But half the people aren't. And half the people are. But they're... I don't know if Donald Trump has the cojones here to take on the Federal Reserve.
You know, I think he's building around the military, like generals and that, so he can eventually take them on. He knows the problem. There's no doubt in my mind.
Well, I know he knows the problem, but, you know, here, you know, I watched a confident Donald Trump striding around on the political stages. Confident, yeah. But I've also seen him in areas that he wasn't quite sure where he was at, and I was watching his eye movements, and they were kind of furtive, like, holy crap, I want to get out of here. Yeah. I hope there's more strength to this man than there is weakness.
I just want to say the judicial, whatever, I forget the name of it, they won their case in the U.S. appellate court. Hillary Clinton will be prosecuted.
Hallelujah. At least we can have the piano-leg lesbian go to jail. And her husband. But can we get everybody else who was involved in all the chicanery in the Clinton Foundation?
I think so.
That hey, there's going to be a lot of vacant seats then in Washington in Congress. I can guarantee you that. Hey, Ron McDonald,
for Congress.
Thank you, my friend.
Hey, always a pleasure, John.
All right. And folks, thank you for being here today. Back tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. And don't forget, Tuesday, Mark Anderson, Ron Avery. You're going to be surprised.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store. or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.